Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
The automated voice on my machine says, mailbox full, please call again. Or the message is, hi honey, have you disappeared? You Scorpios are really weird. Maybe that's why I can't shake the funk I'm in. I think the only thing that's keeping me alive is a good cup of coffee and songs in the key of life. But I know, hey, 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 everything's gonna be all. Everything's gonna be alright. It's alright. Hey, hey, hey. Everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 540. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Mitchell Fain.
And it's Emmy night.
Emmy Awards.
It's like the, I don't know, is it the second or third highest holiday for the GLBT community?
We do love award shows.
The Tonys, the Oscars, then the Emmys. Yeah. I don't know. I kind of love the Emmys more than I love the Oscars usually. Why is that?
I think sometimes we've seen more of them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the TV shows are in our house every day.
Yeah.
Whereas the movies, you know, so freaking expensive these days.
Yeah.
I love the Emmys, yeah, because they're so familiar to us.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm a television junkie, so it feels appropriate that we would have an Emmy show every year. And then we're theater junkies.
Cocktail?
As you have your cocktail. And we're theater junkies as well.
Right.
So, but we don't live in Manhattan, so we obviously don't often get to see everything that's nominated for a Tony. But I feel like I watch my fair share of television.
You watch a lot more TV than I do. I used to be a wicked TV junkie.
Yeah.
But I'm gone for so much of the year that I can't get addicted.
But you were saying that you're not into episodic TV right now. So what are your TVs reality? Are they comedy? Are they variety? Like what is
I'm watching a lot of comedies.
Yeah.
But so that, because you can watch comedies without having to watch the whole series, right?
Sure.
You can sort of like tune in and check stuff out. But mostly I'm just watching, you know, when I'm home and I actually have a TV, I'm either watching news programs because I'm a news junkie, or I'm watching Turner Classic Movies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like
you're watching movies on TV as opposed to watching television.
Right, exactly.
But you have some favorite shows. I mean, let's talk about some of our favorite shows that don't have anything to do with the awards. Like, because sometimes your shows aren't nominated or sometimes they don't win awards.
Oh, well, I love The Fosters. You know?
We've been watching The Fosters.
I love The Fosters.
They're not nominated,
I love Parenthood. I think Parenthood gets blown up all the time.
It does. It's coming back this year and it wrapped up.
I think
and
it's so good.
Because not only is this an Emmy show, but there's... you know, definitely want to look ahead because the fall TV season is starting. Mm. And, you know, there's lots of big new people that are going to be on television this year. And we saw some of them on the Emmys tonight. But Robin Williams is going to be on television. Michael J. Fox coming back to television.
That's right. Allison Janney.
Allison Janney back on television. Many, many, many time winner. So
my friend Max Jenkins, who's 8, is going to be on the TV show Betrayal, which starts September 29th.
Yeah, there's lots of television even being filmed in the city of Chicago right now. So, and so, you know, television to come, television going on. Now, are you a reality show television watcher? I know our Scott Duff is a major television reality show watcher. He loves the cooking shows. He loves The Amazing Race. And
yeah, I like the competition shows. I like the competition shows where they actually have some discernible skill set. So not much Amazing Race. I like it. It's not. I like So You Think You Can Dance. I like Project Runway. I like RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yep.
I like where you have to have some skill set.
Yep.
Top Chef, those sorts of shows, that that I can recognize as a skill set that I admire and have a tiny, tiny, tiny understanding of how it works.
Yeah.
But that the skill set is so beyond me. Mm-hmm. I love those shows. Mm-hmm.
And you have somebody that you know who just walked away with $500,000 prize on Big Brother, probably the most controversial Big Brother year.
I want to defend Andy a little bit. Andy Heron just won Big Brother, the first gay winner, well, openly gay winner anyway, that we know of.
Yes.
Of Big Brother. And it was a very controversial season for lots of reasons. And he's got some
name calling, lots of racism, homophobia.
They called him Kermit the
sexism.
Fag. And he got a lot of criticism. You know, they don't know what's going on while it's happening.
Right.
And he got a lot of criticism for not standing up to people without people really understanding that that's how he was playing the game. It's like if you give people enough rope, they will hang themselves.
Yep.
And then he got accused of saying one thing, and he got lumped in with the racist. And what he said was not racist in any way, shape, or form. In fact, it was really, like, he called somebody a robotic biracial.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's nothing negative. He's not saying anything. He's putting two words together that are funny.
Uh-huh.
And he got all this crap for it. I'm like, no, you're misinterpreting him. He wasn't being racial. He was saying funny words.
Yeah.
The person he was talking about is biracial. It'd be like, it's not racist just to call somebody Caucasian or black.
Right.
If they are, in fact, Caucasian.
Or if they're biracial, it's not racist
to call. And being robotic has no basis in stereotypical biracial behavior. He was just putting two funny words together.
Yeah.
So I feel like he got he didn't get a raw deal because he won $500,000. But like,
yeah.
As far as like people like on blogs and stuff talking about Andy, Andy's a good guy and a sweetheart, and he played that game real well. He knew that as the gay guy, he would have some sort of, you know, edge because the cute gay guy mm-hmm. is popular right now, and some not edge because there's still a lot of people who are homophobic in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he played it brilliantly.
Would you ever go on one of those shows? I feel like you would do well on a show like...
I'm not so sure I'd be so good at playing the game. I think I'm a little bit of a hothead.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
You kind of are,
sure
but
I
they would probably cast you because of
maybe.
That. Because you wouldn't seem like you'd be a hothead.
Yeah, right. I seem
even-keeled. At the beginning, like when people would, you know, want to cast you, or if they just met you in a house.
Funny gay guy. But I think I'd be the vicious one. I mean, not people insulting me, because that's, you know, that's my whole personality. It's like, if somebody says something to hurt my feelings, you know, my feelings are hurt, I'm human,
mm-hmm.
but it generally rolls off my back. But if somebody says something about somebody I love,
mm-hmm.
then I am a Scorpio and I will sting.
Mm-hmm.
You know me. I'm just like, that's when my hot-headedness...
I don't ever want to cross you, Mitchell Fain.
Or, God forbid, somebody says something, I mean, not that anybody would ever say anything about you, but I promise you, if somebody did,
I'd rip
them to shreds.
I want you and my posse to cut people in case I need it happening.
I am not generous about that.
Yeah.
I am not.
You are loyal.
Yeah. It's funny. I took this funny, like, online...
I took the same one!
Yeah, and I put loyal as the number one thing that was
me
important
too.
To me. That's so interesting.
I did too.
Loyalty.
Yeah.
I got your back, you got my back.
Yep.
I can be pissed at you, we can be mad.
Absolutely.
But I got your back.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right,
That's why we balance each other out on this couch.
It's really interesting.
And also because I'm becoming slightly more Jewish. Is that racist if I say that?
No, it's not. Not when you're using Yiddish words properly. It means you're actually becoming more Jewish.
I was like, Mitchell, I got to clear up the mishigas here. Let me convince you before we like start recording.
Exactly. We'll give you a bris later. We'll cut up your foreskin. It'll all be fine.
Wee! So I am a television addict. I possibly might need a 12-step program for how much television I watch. And I haven't yet, though I will say that I'm a classic addict. You know, it's kind of like in the worlds of 12-step, I'd just basically be your alcoholic, not like your alcoholic, cocaine, meth head, heroin
also,
user. You know?
You drink top shelf stuff too.
That's right.
Right. As far as your addictions go, you do top shelf. My addictions go more towards like...
Honey Boo Boo?
Yeah, I'll watch a Honey Boo Boo. I'll watch a Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Yeah,
I'll watch some Kendra on top.
No, okay, I just paused there. I only watch one housewife, and that's Beverly Hills, but that's my brothers to blame. But I am quite an addict, but I'm not, as was even teased at the beginning of the Emmys today, like I can't binge watch TV very well. I mean, for me, binging, because I'm everything in moderation, is that like I can watch like, you know, an episode every day of something for a week, you know, but I can't like sit and watch 7 hours of something.
I can do that.
See, I can't.
I'll do
marathons. I don't know why.
I like a marathon.
I've watched like two or three, but I I do watch a lot of television. I am super, super, super excited to have The Good Wife be back on. I love Modern Family. I'm ready for new episodes of that. I think they're going to get married this year, and I want to watch that happen. I am a fan of the premium channels, but I had never watched Homeland. And I have to say, this is my birthday week, and I have to say that it feels like the birthday gift of all birthdays is that I am about to finish. I have one more episode, which I'll probably watch on my birthday, so I can just really have a good gift.
Also roll into it.
Yes, the final episode of season 2 of Homeland, because I came to it very late. I've only been watching Homeland now for about the past month. And so I don't know if that's binging, but it doesn't really feel like binging if you watch it.
It's not a
binge,
no.
No. So, but it's fast for me.
Eight episodes in a row.
Well, it's fast for me because I literally got all the DVDs to Battlestar Galactica, and it took me like 3 years to watch them. And my friends were like, "Are you watching them in real time? What are you doing?" Like, you know?
Like once a week.
Like Heather Schmucker, my best friend, was like, "Oh my God, I watched it all in 2 weeks. What are you doing?" And I was like, five seasons. It took me like 3 years, you know? But I have been watching The Homeland very steadily, and I am obsessed. So I am so excited that a new season is starting, as other shows are ending. I am so excited that is starting. So so we're going to talk about the Emmys today. Right. We'll talk a little bit about fall television. And before we get all that going, we're going to tell you what's going on in GLBT news and entertainment. And also what's going on in the theater scene, because it's a big theater. I mean, this is when, you know,
things start to happen.
Openings are happening like 4 or 5 a week of import. So,
and everybody likes a warm hand on their opening.
Everybody likes a warm hand on their opening. Okay, I'm just going to go to the news now.
I stole that.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
Million Dollar Quartet, Chicago's hit rock and roll musical, is now extended through January. Relive the legendary night Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, and Elvis Presley played together for the first and only time. Don't miss the show the Chicago Tribune calls a hit. The Chicago Sun-Times calls the show musically dazzling from first beat to last. Million Dollar Quartet, now playing at the Apollo Theater. Visit Ticketmaster.com.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the weekend news. In Pennsylvania, a state judge said that D. Bruce Haynes, the Register of Wills for Montgomery County, doesn't have the legal authority to override the state's constitutional ban on marriage equality and, therefore, must stop issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples. Haynes said he'll comply with the order, even though he's disappointed with the decision. More than 170 same-sex couples have received marriage licenses through Haynes. The ruling did not address whether Pennsylvania will consider those couples legally married or not.
Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin and Republican Senator Susan Collins introduced bipartisan legislation to extend employee benefit programs to cover the same-sex domestic partners of federal employees. The Domestic Partnership Benefits and Obligations Act of 2013 would reportedly put the federal government on par with a majority of Fortune 500 companies, as gay and lesbian domestic partners would be covered by the same extent as married opposite-sex couples of federal workers. Almost 60% of Fortune 500 companies now offer health benefits to employees' domestic partners, up from just 25% in 2000.
In a new campaign ad, openly gay Democratic House candidate Carl Sciortino Jr. comes out to his Tea Party father as a liberal Democrat. Sciortino, a member of the Massachusetts House, is running to fill an empty seat in the United States House.
In Chicago, former city treasurer Judy Rice, in running for her judgeship, came out of the closet to Windy City Times. Rice added that she has a partner, physician Barb Heller.
Citing a voter-approved constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriages in her state, Oklahoma Governor Mary Fallon ordered the state's National Guard to stop processing benefit requests for same-sex couples. That makes Oklahoma, after Texas, Mississippi, and Louisiana, the fourth state to go against a federal directive requiring agencies to grant legally married same-sex couples the benefit wedded opposite-sex couples receive. However, unlike the three other states, Fallon has seemingly overridden a previous decision by the state's National Guard to process requests from married gay and lesbian couples.
An out lesbian has been confirmed as a judge of the U.S. Court of Federal Claims. The Senate confirmed Elaine Kaplan by a vote of 64-35 on September 17th. She will serve a 15-year term in this judgeship, where she will hear monetary claims against the federal government.
The United States Department of Labor has announced new guidelines interpreting the Supreme Court's decision in United States v. Windsor, whose ruling struck down the provisions of the Defense of Marriage Act that denied federal benefits to legally married same-sex couples. The department's Employee Benefits Security Administration provides guidance to plans, plan sponsors, fiduciaries, participants, and beneficiaries on the decision's impact on the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, or ERISA, of 1974. The release states that, in general, the terms spouse and marriage in Title I of ERISA and in related department regulations should be read to include same-sex couples legally married in any state or forced jurisdiction that recognizes such marriages, regardless of where they currently live.
The City Council of Porterville, California, removed Mayor Virginia Girola from office, allegedly because of her declaration that June be regarded as LGBT Pride Month in the town. The governing body also removed Vice Mayor Pete McCracken from his position. Porterville is reportedly the only city in California to officially support Prop 8 in 2008.
In world news, Q Radio, India's first online radio station dedicated to the LGBT community, launched on September 10th. Launched from Bengaluru, Q Radio is a 24/7 online radio channel offered by RadioWala.in, a multi-channel internet radio platform running over 30 stations.
In Canada, the New Democratic Party in Manitoba has passed an anti-bullying bill requiring schools to accommodate gay-straight alliances, as well as clubs promoting equality between students of different genders, races, and abilities. Bill 18 was passed September 13th.
Ken Cavusoglu, who was born in Istanbul but educated in the United States, has announced his intention to run for mayor of Bulansak, making him the first openly gay candidate to run for any office in Turkey. Homosexuality has been legal in Turkey since 1858, but there are no legal protections for gays in the largely Islamic country, and anti-gay sentiments reportedly run deep. The country is unusual in that the government is considered more accepting of LGBTs than the general populace is. Elections will be held next March.
Gay U.S. figure skater Johnny Weir will not be competing in the 2014 Winter Olympics in Sochi, Russia. Weir, a two-time Olympian, did not register to try and qualify for the national championship where the U.S. Olympic team will be chosen. Weir had been getting a lot of attention because of some of the backlash Russia has been receiving for its anti-gay propaganda law, which has had some calling for a U.S. boycott of the Olympics.
In entertainment news, The CW has greenlit a new drama about a transgender teenager. The series, known as Z, will revolve around a female-to-male transgender teen and his family. Z will be penned by writer-playwright Kyle Jarrow and executive produced by Michael Wandon, known for his work on the Oscar-winning biopic Milk. The show's title, Z, is an often-used gender-neutral pronoun among people with non-conforming gender identities.
Lesbian Grammy winner Katie Lang is making her Broadway debut when she takes over from Fantasia Barrino as the second star vocalist in After Midnight, a musical celebrating Duke Ellington's years at the famous Cotton Club nightclub in Harlem. Lang starts performances February 11th, 2014, and ends her run March 9th. The musical debuts October 18th, 2013, at the Brooks Atkinson Theater.
Britney Spears is getting paid almost $30 million to take her talents to Las Vegas. The pop star landed a deal to perform 48 shows for 2 years at Planet Hollywood, earning $310,000 per show. The Toxic singer debuted the single Work Bitch September 15th, a day earlier than anticipated after a version leaked online.
Billy Joel, Shirley MacLaine, and Herbie Hancock were among the annual recipients of this year's Kennedy Center Honors, one of the U.S.'s top cultural awards. Guitarist Carlos Santana and opera soprano Martina Arroyo will also be honored at the ceremony at the John F. Kennedy Center for Performing Arts, December 8th in Washington, D.C.
Out actor Matt Bomer is slated to play Montgomery Clift in a biopic of the late gay actor. At his prime, Clift rivaled Marlon Brando as Hollywood's biggest male star. Clift's matinee idol good looks were destroyed in a car accident that left him with a broken nose and facial scars. However, he continued to make movies until his death.
Out actress Lily Tomlin won a Creative Primetime Arts Emmy for Outstanding Voiceover Performance for An Apology to Elephants. HBO's Behind the Candelabra about the life of Liberace was the most awarded program with 8 Emmys. CBS's Undercover Boss, Best Reality Show, South Park, Best Animated Show, and Project Runway's Heidi Klum and Tim Gunn, Best Reality Hosts. Openly gay actor Dan Bukatinski won for guest acting on Scandal, while Bob Newhart snagged his first Emmy for The Big Bang Theory.
Fuse Television Network will launch the new original series Big Freedia, Queen of Bounce, on Wednesday, October 2nd. With gay personality Big Freedia as its guide, the new unscripted series explores the underground world of the New Orleans hip-hop scene known as Bounce.
And the lavish bio musical All That Glitters is bringing the late gay icon Liberace to Broadway in December of 2014 following a Toronto premiere. All That Glitters features Three's Company star Richard Klein as one of three actors portraying Liberace.
And that's the Week in News brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hey, this is Carson Kressley, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of September 23rd, 2013, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Writers Theater invites you to dive headlong into the theatrical fable that celebrates the power of imagination. The Old Man and the Old Moon tells the story of a man whose job is to collect spilled light and refill the leaking moon. The young men of Pigpen Theater Company blend resonant storytelling, spirited indie folk music, and inventive puppetry to create a theatrical experience that will win you over. Playing now at Writers Theater in Glencoe, just minutes from downtown Chicago on the Eaton or the Metro. For tickets to The Old Man and the Old Moon, visit writerstheater.org.
Nominated for 13 Tony Awards, In the Heights is making its Chicago debut, directed by Rachel Rockwell at the lovely Paramount Theater in Aurora. The Tribune raves and gives it 3.5 stars. In the Heights playing now through October 6th. For tickets, visit ParamountAurora.com. That's ParamountAurora.com. Don't miss In the Heights. The show critics are calling a must-see this fall.
Signs of Life, a new musical drama about the human spirit, runs now to October 27th at the Zajac McVeigh Theater at the Biograph. Signs of Life is based on the true story of one of the most fascinating and least known stories of the Holocaust. It shows the struggle of the key captives as they try to expose the truth through art and music, and in doing so, discover the humanity they all share. Signs of Life through October 27th. For ticket information, visit victorygarden.org.
Lifeline Theater proudly presents The Killer Angels, based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of The Battle of Gettysburg. The Killer Angels is running Thursday through Sundays, now through October 27th. For tickets, visit lifelinetheater.com. Don't miss The Killer Angels.
And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Hi there, this is Deb Pierce reminding you it's okay. Go ahead. You're not alone. Post a comment.
Break a bone, we're in the car on a high.
we're back. It's Emmy night, cocktails in hand, sitting on the couch at Shea Matheny Fane. And what my takeaway from the night is that, once again, it's a gay affair in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And once again, and not once again, for once in a blue moon, which this rarely ever happens, almost every major category was a what? What?
Yeah,
what?
It was. I mean, Neil Patrick Harris made a funny joke where he said, everybody has lost their Emmy
office pool
because it was like everything was out of the box.
Yeah.
Starting with, who was that first woman that won?
Merritt Weaver from Nurse Jackie, who I love.
Brilliant.
She's been nominated, I believe, every year. She might not have been nominated the first season, and if she wasn't, that was a travesty. But she has just done something that is so fresh.
Yeah, she's fresh.
Her delivery is so fresh and so new, and they've really given her a bigger, bigger character because of it. And that has been really, really amazing. And I think, you know, the big upset for her was just that... you know, there was such an enormous,
pool of
category.
Women.
Yeah, there were like seven actresses in that. Everybody from Julie Bowen from Modern Family and Sofia Vergara, who may have split the vote, but I think you said you thought it was going to be Sofia's year.
I really thought it was her year.
Many people thought it was going to be Jane Krakowski's year because she's just been a real rock solid character actress on 30 Rock. But then, you know, Jane Lynch always there, Mayim Bialik. I mean, you know, just different Jane Lynch and Anna Chlumsky from Veep.
Right, who remember was little girl from...
I know. What was it called?
Oh, God,
Like Little Girl or something.
No, it was called My... Oh, God, just Little Girl on...
My Girl?
My Girl.
There you go.
Oh, that movie...
Yeah.
I can't even think about it. It makes me cry. Yeah, there were so many surprises.
I loved Merritt Weaver.
My takeaway was, it was the... Like, lots of surprises, which was really cool.
Yeah.
New people like Tony Hale winning for Veep. He's so great.
And Arrested Development,
so
too, which is
but
nice.
But then it was also this...
And Bobby Cannavale, too.
Bobby Cannavale?
Who is on Nurse Jackie, but won for Boardwalk Empire. So interesting, these actors who really, you know, working.
He's working, because we were saying he's also in the new Woody Allen movies in Blue Jasmine, playing sort of the Stanley Kowalski part. And it was also the saddest Emmys. There was so many, they did this really interesting thing, you know, with the tributes, right? With
the in memoriams.
In memoriams, where it wasn't just in memoriam, they had some, like, people come out who had personal connections. Rob Reiner talked about Gene Stapleton and
Edie Falco.
Edie Falco talked about
James Gandolfini. Jane Lynch talking about Corey Monteith.
Right.
You know, I felt like that was a super personal touch.
It was beautiful, but it made it sad. And then it was like Kennedy's assassination. It was like
that whole thing I didn't understand. Didn't understand Elton John coming on to perform a sad song when
about
you're
Liberace.
About Liberace. Like, why don't we perform something flamboyant?
Why don't we celebrate? Also, why do we have to? I mean, I love Liberace as much as the next person. And yes, it was historic.
I think it's just because it won nominated for so many awards.
Right.
It was the highest nominated thing,
like,
I think,
15,
of the
I
night.
Think, right?
Yeah.
And it won, I think it won like 11.
Yeah, or more. Yeah.
Something crazy like that. And 11 or 12. So that was unnecessary. And then Carrie Underwood, I apologize to all the LGBT fans of Carrie Underwood. Carrie Underwood doing anything is fairly unnecessary. Especially singing a Beatles song. I could feel so many of my friends who are Beatles fanatics.
Yeah.
I could feel their sphincters tightening, being like, what the... I get it. They were trying to talk about when TV came of age, and then she, of course, is famous because of television. So I get the connection, but it was a stretch.
It was a stretch.
And it added
and
10
I
minutes.
Understand.
Added
it
a good 10 minutes.
There. I don't think either one of them needed to be there. They could have easily done something fun. I mean, I don't know that they needed to do anything with Liberace, honestly.
No, the fact that
it was going to get mentioned over and over and over again. I mean, of course, it won for, and this is huge spoilers. Hope you're not listening to the show if you have, for some reason, TiVo'd this and you don't want to know. But, you know, I mean, Michael Douglas winning for it, Steven Soderbergh winning as best director,
right.
It winning as best miniseries.
Right. All
movie.
Sorts of technical awards.
Like 8 technical creative, what they call the creative awards. I mean, you know, it was a walkaway hit. And I think what is huge about that, and they didn't need, you know, gay Elton John to come on as well in his rhinestones, though, as you and I said, he's got a new CD coming out, so he used that as an opportunity.
Right.
They used it as an opportunity to get Sir Elton John on stage, because he's one of the biggest stars in the world.
And a piano player, so that makes sense.
And a piano player.
It was unnecessary. Let's talk about the really important stuff.
Okay.
That the Deschanel sisters, Emily and Zoe, while charming, delightful gals, are the worst-dressed siblings of the evening. I mean, they just both looked so horrid. Tina Fey looked fabulous.
Tina Fey did look fabulous.
My favorite.
I thought Juliana Margulies looks like she needs a hamburger, but her dress stunning. And her art direction of her of her look, just
they
gorgeous.
They all need hamburgers. Sofia Vergara's breasts were the best dressed siblings of the evening.
They won the best set.
The best set, right?
Best set design.
Sweet Jesus, those are good boobs.
Those are. Can we wait? You can't pass.
Right, no, they're just
there's
amazing.
A lesbian on this show. That those breasts
and
we had to
and
watch.
A gay breast man.
We had to watch those breasts.
We did. We rewatched it
a couple of times because they're just they have such life.
They walked on before her. They introduced her.
Who was she with? I don't even remember.
Who knows? Cares.
It was like I'm Jimmy Fallon stunning. Or something. Or
Jimmy Kimmel. She was,
Jimmy Kimmel. She's like totally upstage. Jimmy Kimmel.
I mean, also like, I think he got so, like Jimmy Kimmel didn't even do shtick. Like, you think he's going to do some shtick about it? I think he was so thrown by how freaking gorgeous she is.
It's so gorgeous. Yeah. I can't even tell
I said,
you.
They are. She is.
She was, yeah, I just put a big note down. Sofia Vergara in red. The end, exclamation know, right. point. Like, gorgeous. Gorgeous.
Also, Tina Fey looked fabulous.
She did look fabulous.
I thought, because she doesn't, I love Tina, but she doesn't always
look fabulous.
Well, I just don't know if always that she has the best stylist, but she looked amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought for me, best dressed of the night, and you didn't get to see it on the red carpet, because I had seen it earlier.
But I did see, she looked beautiful.
It was Julie Louis-Dreyfus. Her dress, like when you see the detailing of it,
yeah.
and the way it fit, and that it's all sparkles without being like a mm-hmm. disco ball, mm-hmm. I thought she was stunning. And she won.
Yeah. I think Claire Danes, who won for Homeland, who I now think totally is deserved. Last year, I think I wanted somebody else to win. I don't remember who I wanted to win, and I hadn't watched Homeland. But now that I have, I think as long as she's doing that show, nobody's going to ever win an award.
Yeah.
I think that dress will be controversial. I actually thought it was really, really pretty and had a ballet quality about it. You didn't really love it as much.
I didn't like it just because... She's a very skinny girl, like all girls
very
in Hollywood.
Skinny.
And so it made
and no
her,
breasts.
It made her boobs look weird.
Yeah.
I think if it had just come in just a little bit more.
Yeah.
I liked how open it was and that there was sort of a lace, sort of a sheer covering. So it wasn't immodest in its, while being very revealing. I just felt like it didn't fit her boobs well. Like if it were Project Runway, Heidi Klum would say something about how weird it made her boobs.
Well, let's speak of Heidi Klum. How come Heidi Klum is not well-dressed on any red carpet, I feel
like? That dress was too much.
It like looked like her head was being held up by some alien Star Trek.
Or she was wearing a neck brace slash
gown. I didn't understand that because she's such a pretty girl.
She's stunning.
Oh, my God. I mean, I watch episodes of Project Runway, and my favorite part is when Heidi Klum comes out to introduce the judges.
Of course.
Like, she... I'm so excited by that moment. Sometimes I pause my television just to like look at her legs
she's
and look at her hair
stunning.
And look at her face.
I mean, of course, the dress
and
fit
she's so
impeccably.
Bad on every red carpet. I feel like hands. I can't remember. And somebody send it in if you know a red carpet, Emmy or Oscars. Generally, she's the Emmys where she looks good because she looks so much better on that television show than she does. She takes the wrong risks on red carpets. Maybe
weird.
She feels like she should because
if
she's
that whole
a
neck thing had gone away, the rest of the dress was gorgeous, I thought, but that neck thing.
I wasn't a fan at all. And then I actually thought Anna Gunn, who I've not watched Breaking Bad, maybe that will be my next foray.
I thought she looked stunning.
She was really poised and really lovely speech. And I thought she just looked really beautiful. And she looked to me like a star. You know, she looked
also,
like what you want a star to look like.
Here's my thing on the opposite tack is Melissa Leo, while not a huge star, is working all the
she's
time.
She's an Oscar winner.
Oscar
That's
winner.
Big enough star.
She's in everything. She's all over the place. She needs to acknowledge that she's a fucking star and start dressing one. She looked like 1,000 miles of bad road. Mm-hmm. She needs, I mean, I get it. She's trying to, I don't know, maybe she's trying to quote, keep it real, end quote. She looked like hell. Even like my mother in a gabardine pantsuit looked better than Melissa Leo. Seriously, my mother wearing like polyester stretch pants in a lovely lilac would have looked better than Melissa Leo.
Well,
terrible.
Ellen Burstyn, over 65, with
gorgeous.
All her juice.
I
mean, she is
gorgeous.
Always red carpet gorgeous, like a Helen Mirren. She's
yeah,
like the American Helen Mirren gorgeous.
I want to go back and just say that was the thing I really loved about Julia Louis-Dreyfus's outfit is, A, she looks fantastic. Like her skin and her hair.
Mm-hmm.
But her dress was
sexy. She
never
wears lipstick, which I always like.
She wears
a
nude.
Very Donna Karen.
She wears that nude
She
thing.
Looks like, I just look like me, and I'm
love
not going to put anything between me and...
I love that it was a sexy dress that was also age appropriate. Like, she didn't look like she was trying to be a kid, and she didn't look like a dowdy lady.
Yeah.
I thought it was really great.
Another woman who really looks beautiful and looks her age is Connie Britton, you know, mm-hmm. she's very natural. And yeah, I liked her dress. Hair. I mean, a little, maybe a little heavy for, it looked like it was velvet, but I still thought it was very, very beautiful. I kind of wish maybe the fabric had been different, but it looked really, really beautiful. Coloring was really beautiful on her.
I was not a huge fan of it. I'm not as big a fan as you were, but I did love the color on her. So it was a huge disappointment because she was the one that everybody was gunning for. Is that Kerry Washington is a stunning, stunning girl. Also needs a hamburger, but a stunning girl. And she usually wows people on the red carpet. She takes risks. Tonight, she looked like a white trash wedding cake.
Mm.
I did not care for that dress. Yeah. I mean, it fit her beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
But
I didn't think it was her best. It wasn't her best. And, I mean, she was kind of set up to fail tonight by a Diane Carroll. I mean, I don't know, you know. I mean, honoring the fact of, you know, African-Americans not being nominated, you
right.
know,
for years.
Often for, and even today, very often, you know, right. in these roles, in these, not in these roles, but in these,
or like Don
Cheadle
didn't get a nomination. He does the show. I can't remember the name of the show, but he's in a really excellent show right now. He didn't get a nomination. Mm-hmm. He was there, but I don't think he, did he get nominated? Or maybe he did.
I don't think so.
I mean, he's so fantastic. How do you not nominate Don Cheadle? Actually, he might've been nominated, but the point is that, I want to say that Jeff Daniels was a... I know everybody thought... I mean, this is one of the big surprises. Everyone thought Bryan Cranston would win. But I loved... I'm a huge Jeff Daniels fan. He won for Newsroom. Mm-hmm. And his speech was really excellent. If you get a chance to YouTube that, his speech was classy and
I think the shock,
really
though,
great.
That Kevin Spacey didn't win. I mean, maybe. It kind of felt like it was going to be a Kelsey Grammer, the boss year, you know, when he won for, you know, this small show. It really would have been an
that
interesting...
Nobody saw, right?
It would have been an interesting thing to really give this new Netflix original series channels, both of which they've launched... that have gotten so much attention, being Orange is the New Black, which right. I'm starting to watch. I'm watching it slowly. Lesbians, please do not tell me to binge watch it, which every lesbian tells me, like, you could finish that in a week. And I'm like, I don't want to finish it in a week. you know, Orange is the New Black, and also
lesbians can be very pushy,
House
Amy.
Of Cards. They are. Sometimes I wonder if I'm not a lesbian. And House
of Cards.
Because I'm never pushing. House of Cards. And I didn't get to see her standing, and by the time this airs, I probably will have. But Robin Wright, always stunning.
She's stunning.
And she was nominated as well. I mean, I really think people thought that you know, Kevin Spacey or Bryan Cranston would go home with the award. And so it looks like Breaking Bad, you know, gave the award to Anna Gunn and then to the series.
To the series. I also want to say, like, as far as, like, queer presence, you know, like, opening up, you know, Neil Patrick Harris has opened the gay and they did a shot of his husband in the audience. And he made references in the opening bit with all the hosts.
Uh-huh.
He and Jane Lynch did a bit about being gay. I thought Michael Douglas and Matt Damon did really funny.
He was a funny and appropriate.
And also adorably inappropriate, but not offensive, like
of
in a
course.
Loving way about like,
cute.
I share this award with you. Do you want the top or the bottom? And then Matt Damon said, I want the top. Right.
Yeah.
This is a two-hander.
This is a two-hander.
And they laughed. And I thought that was lovely. And I was saying, Jim Parsons was sitting next to his boyfriend and he thanked him, did not call him his partner or his boyfriend, just said, my favorite guy in the world, and did not kiss him when he won. Whereas Jesse Tyler Ferguson just planted a smack dab on his husband's lips when the Martin family won. So that was sort of interesting. I mean, Jim Parsons may be more of a shy guy, but he did not call him his boyfriend.
Yeah. He's not closeted, though.
No, he's not closeted. But he did just come out, but I mean, this past year or so.
I mean, and he, of course, I mean, the two awards that are, you know, repeat awards was Modern Family for Comedy and Jim Parsons, who just keeps winning for the Big Bang Theory.
Well, he's so funny.
I don't watch that. I don't watch a lot of comedies.
You know, turn me on to the Big Bang Theory. I never watched it.
Serious and sad? I don't know.
I never watched, I like the comedies, and I never watched Big Bang Theory until Emma, my best friend David's oldest daughter,
uh-huh.
and Becca, his youngest daughter, they're like, oh God, do you watch Big Bang Theory? And I was like,
uh-huh.
I don't. It's like, oh, it's a favorite. And they uh-huh. totally got me hooked.
Uh-huh. Well.
It's silly and fast-paced, and it's a guilty pleasure. I love it.
Interesting this year, also, another big surprise, The Voice winning for, now, of course, this is another Mark Burnett produced show, like
right, his wife,
The Amazing
Roma
Race and The Bible, and you know, producer extraordinaire. But he made a statement of like, The Voice is the number one young demographic, young person demographic reality show on television, which is interesting. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that
either. I don't watch The Voice, you know.
I want to check those facts. I'm not so sure. I bet, I have to say that, you know.
I'm sure he knows his numbers and his
deets on
everything.
I bet somebody's
going to
say something about it tomorrow.
Interesting.
I think one of the things I love to, when I watch award shows, is not just like who I like and who's dressing, mm-hmm. but I like what people are going to talk about. People are going to talk about Claire Danes' dress. People mm-hmm. are going to talk about the fact that there were all so many surprises. People are going to talk about Mark Burnett. Sort of, I think he came across a little shitty, like a little like shit eating. Mm-hmm. People are going to talk about that. I think they are going to talk about
how sad it was.
How sad it was.
I mean, that's what the Modern Family guy. He
right,
was like
the saddest.
Is,
I mean,
we're
like,
very
and I had
happy
said,
on.
Didn't
the
I
saddest.
Say it like an hour earlier?
Yeah,
I was
you were like,
this is the saddest.
We Mitchell was here crying for like half of it.
Well,
like,
you can't. I was saying you cannot show me that famous image of little John Kennedy saluting his father's coffin. It doesn't matter where I am or what I'm or what context I'm seeing it in. It will always make me cry.
Yeah. It's really crazy because we had the opening, and next week on the podcast, I'm going to have a great interview with Bill Brown and Doug Frew, who are the writers and co-writers, and Bill is the director of To Master the Art about Julia Child, and I'm understudying that show at the Broadway Playhouse. Big plug, but it is fantastic. It's gotten, I felt like the Sun-Times review really hit the nail on the head. Just uh-huh. It's a tour de force for Karen Wojtyla, who's the lead, plays Julia Child, and just a great cast and funny and moving. And anyhow, but we had the big opening night party. And so please all come see it at the Broadway Playhouse. It's just amazing. And it's only running into mid-October, so you want to go see it now. But we were at the opening night party, and I'm understudying an actress, Heidi Kettering, who happens to be married to David Girolamo. And David and I did a show together years ago called The Irish and How They Got That Way at the Mercury Theater here in Chicago, based on Frank McCourt, who wrote Angela's Ashes, a show just about Irish history and Irish music. And anyhow, we were talking about doing that show, and we were just talking about some memories of it at the party afterward. And I said, you know, what I'll never forget about that show was we were singing this song that's about Kennedy's death
uh-huh.
in the show, you know, because great
right.
Irish Catholic
right.
figure. And we're doing this song about Kennedy. And I had to go to the theater that day, and I was understudying that show as well, but I went on a lot because it ran for like a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the theater one night and didn't even think about it until I was mid-show, or it was like the next night after. It was the night that John died, was killed, you know, died in the plane crash. And to do that song in a theater of people who many have probably remembered his dad dying and him dying the day before, and
right,
profound, you know, like I just said that this week. So yeah, I
and
get it.
Showing that clip always just kills me. Yeah, so I think they're going to talk about that. I think they're going to talk about, I think the fashion blogs will talk about Kerry Washington sort of missing the boat on her dress.
Yeah.
I'd be very surprised if her dress gets good reviews. There'll be chat about how brilliant Amy and Tina are, and that they should do the Golden Globes again, because there's been that sort of like thing going on. So there'll be talk about that and how funny they are. Will Ferrell at the end doing the best bit of the night with his kids. Brilliant.
Coming out.
Brilliant.
Because everybody in that audience can also relate to that.
Of course.
You know, because we're all have, you know, families or kids
right,
or
just
know what
stuff
that
to
life
do.
Is to, or life to do. And yeah, I mean.
But also, once again, Neil Patrick Harris is fantastic.
Yeah.
They'll people talk about that, how he's just such a natural and
he's
such a
natural
charmer.
Host. He's so, so great. He needs to host the Oscars now.
And he's such an insider now, you know. Now, he was an insider as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And now that his career, we've talked about him a bunch of times on the podcast, and just what a success he is as a performer, but also as an LGBT out person.
Yeah.
And how he's just having a huge effect, I think. He's so loved. He's such an beloved American entertainer, and then he's such a beloved insider in the world of Hollywood, which is a whole other sort of level of success as far as like being out in Hollywood. Like being out in Hollywood, you could be a designer, you could be a costumer, you could be, you know, you couldn't even really be a director for a long time and be out. And now Patrick Harris, like we noticed at the very end, is also a producer of the show. And so to be in front of the camera, behind the camera, on stage, playing, doing, singing, dancing, acting, comedy, playing straight, playing gay, being himself, having a partner, being very public about his family.
Well, it's interesting,
he's doing it so beautifully and with such grace and such humor that he has garnered the affection of everyone.
Yeah. He's got a class about him, and it's definitely going to be interesting as this year will end the year of, you know, How I Met Your Mother, and, you know, and we'll see what will happen to him then after that season.
Oh, he's going to get his own show. I mean,
I think so, right?
But I hope he does it right, like waits for really good writers.
Yeah, he really needs to. I mean, he needs
to. Well, he's also going to do, he's finally going to, you know, Hedwig and the Angry Inch is going to be finally on Broadway. It's never been on Broadway, always off Broadway.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to Broadway, and he's Hedwig.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so that's what he's doing next. He's going to. So next year when he hosts the Tony Awards, he'll also win one.
Yeah, honest to God. Well, you know, it's also a big night for Stephen Colbert, who,
oh God, is
you
he
know,
adorable.
Talk about the just right-sized and humble and
classy,
you know, for the first time winning variety show and his writers winning. Normally, this is an award that just you turn to the right and hand that to
John Stewart.
John Stewart, thank you. Kind of the Bob World name kept coming to my head. To John Stewart, and so that was really, really, really amazing. But you know, I have to say, one of my favorite things coming from the world of dance, as a young person and coming to the creative arts or performing arts through dance, and you know, and so do you listeners know that I'm a huge fan of So You Think You Can Dance.
Hello.
Even though I don't watch Dancing with the Stars and I don't exactly understand the hoopla, but I kind of do because it feels like a show my mom would like and my dad like, and they do like. But I was so excited tonight that they
honored the dance.
The choreographers for the first time. Choreography was on the major awards night as opposed to the creative awards night. And you know, Derek Hough won for Dancing with the Stars, which
we were hoping
I would
for
have
Travis
loved
Walls.
Any of my well, I would have had Sonia Tyre or Nappy Tabs or Travis to win.
That was my nickname in college.
What?
Nappy Tabs.
That was your nickname in college?
It wasn't.
I would have loved from somebody from So You Think You Can Dance to win. But
it was cool to see the dancing.
Unreal.
It was cool to watch the audience be into it, too.
And they gave them a moment to like kind of highlight the shows. And I really thought that was cool. And I think next year they should do that. And they should let them do all the shows again.
The thing is, it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see tomorrow what the reviews are of that. Because you and I like that. And dance, for the first time in many, many years, is being discussed in America because of Dancing with the Stars and So You Think You Can Dance.
And even like America's Got Talent and stuff like that.
America's Got Talent just won. A Dancer just won. You know, there's always that controversy at the Oscars, you know, for years it'd be like these dance numbers.
Yeah.
And people are always like, oh, why do we have to watch this?
But they weren't good. They weren't the same kind of, they were the old school dance. And I feel like this is taking new dance.
I agree.
Into...
I think it's beautiful. And I was like, even the old school dance, I always like dance.
I do too.
But it'll be interesting to see what people say about it. The thing is, what's interesting, and I was thinking about that with Derek Hough, because I really wanted Travis to win because I think he's a superior choreographer. But what's interesting is that Derek Hough, I can't think of the last time a dancer was famous for being a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in popular culture, he's famous because he's a dancer.
Yeah.
And that hasn't happened in a long time.
Yeah.
You know, Baryshnikov? I mean, when's the last time you can name someone who's famous for being a guy who was famous for being a dancer?
Yeah.
I mean, Patrick Swayze was also an action star you know, he danced, but he was an actor.
Right.
Whereas Derek Hough is a dancer.
Yeah.
And he's famous.
Yeah.
And it's cool.
That is cool. I mean, I'm no diss on Derek Hough. I mean,
exactly.
He's adorable and he's
cool
a great dancer.
It's like, when does that happen? It hasn't happened in a very long time.
Yeah. I agree. And I think that that's amazing. I think that point is amazing too, Mitchell, because we don't have the Citrice or the...
No,
I mean,
or
even Astaire or Gene Kelly were
Donald
actors,
O'Connor
singers, too. But this guy's just a dancer. He's not an actor. He's not a singer.
No, he's a dancer, like Baryshnikov. Baryshnikov eventually did movies, but he was famous for dancing, or, you know, Alexander Goodenough. And there used to be a time where, like, if you were an excellent dancer, you could also be quite successful.
Gregory Hines,
right? He moved into acting as well, but...
Yeah.
And singing, but... Dancer, man.
A dancer.
I know, I thought it was great, and he's always charming, and he's always adorable on Ellen.
Yeah.
And I think he's dancing with Amber Riley this season.
Uh-huh.
Did you see that? I don't watch Dancing with the Stars, but Amber Riley from Glee.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, is a bigger girl, and so people were like, that'll be interesting. YouTube it if you haven't seen it. because the first episode, she danced.
Well, that Glee show, they learned that choreography freaking fast. So she's learned the choreography quickly. So now she's going to, you know, they all lose weight and they all dance their butts off.
It was really great. And if I'm not mistaken, it was so funny because I watched it because somebody had recommended it to me. And she danced so well that I'm actually blanking on who her partner was. But I think it is Derek Hough. Hmm.
Well, it was an Emmy night. It was an Emmy night, not like in any other, honestly.
Funny, but also really, really sad.
Really sad. And I wanted a little more funny from Neil. I wanted him not to be quite so in the wings. But
Well, I think they're afraid of going over, right?
I don't know whose tone or timing or whatever.
I love Elton, but they could have cut Elton.
Cut Elton, cut Carrie. His numbers would have been good, and the dance number, and that would have been enough entertainment for us, honestly.
Also, the one last thing I want to say is, and you and I were both shocked by this, that last week at the Creative Arts Emmys, they announced some of the sort of small, like, guests, and Bob Newhart, legendary Bob Newhart, just last week won an Emmy for the first time.
Got a standing ovation tonight.
Standing ovation. The only standing ovation, yes?
Yes.
Standing ovation, first Emmy for Bob Newhart.
I mean, television couldn't go on if he doesn't win an Emmy. Like, he is television.
He's television.
He is.
So that was really cool.
It's like Mary Tyler Moore and Bob Newhart.
And he had a lovely moment with Jim Parsons. They had a lovely interaction with each other.
Yeah.
Because he won for being on Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love him. I love Bob Newhart. He has a very special place in my little gay heart.
Me too. He just was wonderful.
I loved it. Well, I love you.
I love you too.
Thank you for having an Emmy night with me.
I love it. The best.
We have the best. We should sell tickets to our Emmy night.
I know, right?
We could raise money for the podcast.
It was fun.
It's where we could fly and go do one in Bali.
Or Mali.
Or Mali.
Anywhere.
Or Milwaukee.
I'll go to Milwaukee.
All right, everybody. I hope you have a great week. I'm going to get older and celebrate my birth this week. With many friends and many family, but I'm very grateful for all of you listening. Also, a big tip that we will have the creators of To Master the Art, two gay men, deeply passionate about this woman who entered their lives through the television set, Julia Child, and remember as young boys learning that they got to go in the kitchen and learning that they got to cook from this larger-than-life woman who was full of joy, and it didn't have to be perfect and it didn't have to be by the book.
Right.
I see her as a gay icon, Julia Child, and she definitely was a champion of just going out there and making your way no matter when in life you do that. And, you know, didn't even know how to cook until the age of 38, 39. Didn't know how to cook anything. Became a superstar. One of the most legendary cooks of all time.
Remind me to tell you later the story of Julia Child coming to see the circus.
Ooh.
She changed Pat's life.
Oh, well, we can talk about that as well. All right. So stay tuned for that one next week, and we hope you have a great week, everybody. And email us in or call us in with your Emmy thoughts.
Yeah, let us know who you thought was best dressed.
I know. I'm going to say Margulies because I swing that way. Can't help it. Oh, well, no. Sofia Vergara.
Well.
I'm just going to go lay down on those breasts tonight.
Sweet Lord.
In my dreams.
The cushions from heaven.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.